This morning's scripture is Luke 9, 28 through 36. Please rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated. Oh, sorry about my voice this morning, but I'm better. We were talking today about metamorphosis, and meta comes from two words, meta, which means change, and morphosis, which means form. And metamorphosis, scientists tell us, is a change that reforms a creature into something completely new. Now, the disciples probably were not aware of this scientific phenomena when they went up on the mountaintop with Jesus, but it seems as if metamorphosis is probably the best word that I can think of to describe what was going on. Today's Transfiguration Sunday, and it's kind of it's the last Sunday of Epiphany, it's right before the season of Lent, and it's when we talk about that, like I said, that weird thing that happened when Jesus went up onto the top of a mountain. His face changed, his clothes became dazzling white, and he appeared with Moses and Elijah in this scripture. Now, transfiguration is not a word that we use much anymore. To be transfigured is to be changed into something beautiful or revered. It's a metamorphosis, if you will. Verse 28 says that Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they went up to a mountain to pray. Now, if in the Bible, if you're up on a mountain, it's important, because think of all these mountaintop experiences that they had. Moses was up on the mountain when he received the Ten Commandments, and he went down off the mountain, and his face was glowing. And then Elijah went up on the mountain as well. Now, Jesus is up on a mountain. So if it's on a mountain in the Bible, it's something is about to happen here. And so that's exactly what was happening in the Transfiguration. Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. He was transfigured. We're told that his face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And then, lo and behold, just like Moses and Elijah had happened to them before, they were up on the mountain with them as well. Now, verse 30 says, yes, Moses and Elijah was up there with him, and they were talking about what verse 31 says is his exodus. This must surely refer to Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. Luke's audience, again, would have made probably the connection between this occurrence, what was going on, and Moses, who led his people from slavery to Egypt in the Promised Land. Jesus, to them, would lead the people from bondage to sin to resurrection, and this would be a sort of a spiritual metamorphosis in their own spiritual lives. In Luke's version of the story, the disciples were weighed down with sleep. One could say they were more transfixed than they were transfigured in this particular situation. Now, little wonder that Peter wanted to do something to commemorate this experience. You know, had he had an iPhone, he could have Snapchatted the thing or Instagrammed it or TikToked it. But instead, he built three booths, three dwellings. Basically, these were monuments that he would use to really symbolize or to remember this for all time. He wanted to commemorate this moment. Now, again, this has reference in Old Testament. There was a festival called the Festival of Booths, and this was when Jewish men and boys would make this journey to the temple in Jerusalem, and they would have to live in these temporary shelters around it called booths during the occasion. Not to mention up there on the mountain, it would have been a very hostile environment. There was wind, there was cold, there was sudden lightning storms, you know, all of the elements. And so Peter wanted to build this place where they could just comfortably reside and just dwell in the presence of God and the holy, and one for each of the men present, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. It was a way to commemorate. But while he was planning this great big grand vision of how to commemorate and monument this moment, he heard this voice from God, and I can do it very well this morning. It says, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." Just like the Old Testament, when God speaks to Moses from a cloud and overshadowed him. I mean, our passage today, it really just drips with Old Testament reference, as if to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Well, so God interrupts Peter while he was, you know, yapping about building all of these monuments here. And he says, "This is my son, listen to him." And I begin to think, what if we were to listen to God more? You know, it just seems like I talk a lot to God. I talk a lot at God. But what if we were to just simply listen more and just take a pause out? Because it seems like we live in this very productive world where we've always got to be working or measuring our productivity. And we're so used to it in many of our workplaces that we have to show what we've done. But I think God calls us to stop and listen. I forgot to send out the email this week when Chloe was gone, and that was going to be my the thing that I talked about. About considering the sparrows. Jesus calls us to consider the sparrows, and a lot of times we think he says that not to worry. But one of my favorite authors, Barbara Brown Taylor, wrote about how we should stop and just stop and be in awe of what God is doing in our lives. Yes, there is a lot of worry in our lives, and there's some of that is not going to go away. There's a lot of anxiousness and just things it cannot disappear. But Barbara Brown Taylor seems to want us to consider if we were just to stop and just consider the sparrows. Just stop and let our mind wander. Stop and give ourselves but a moment of peace. And I think when we do that, even though the worries don't disappear, we still find the voice of God and his leading in it. And I think that's what Jesus was calling, or what God was calling Peter and James and John to do. Just stop and simply watch. Soak it all in and take it in. And don't think of a productivity or something that you have to do to symbolize or commemorate the experience. Just stop, listen, and look for the voice of God. Well, as they went down off of the mountain, they kept silent, and they told no one what they had seen. Perhaps they were just speechless. Perhaps they had just their jaws just dropping to the ground at all that they had seen. Perhaps they were so transfixed at this transfiguration moment. Can you think of a mountaintop experience that you have had with God? For some, that may have been in the mountains and seeing the beautiful scenery, or just simply looking up at the sky and seeing the sunrise or the sunset and being awe of it. Some of us saw all the planets that were aligned, and I was just the stars on Friday night were just so beautiful. It's something about the heavens that whenever I stop and look up, I just see and feel the presence of God. For others, that mountaintop experience may be a beautiful worship service or a mission trip that you were a part of. These are times where the very presence of God is felt, and these are moments that you won't forget, and they often lead to change. They often lead to transformation, transfiguration. They lead to metamorphosis in our lives. Well, in verse 36, after this amazing mountaintop experience, if you read on in the context, something interesting happens. On the next day, they went down from the mountain, and a great crowd had met him. And a man shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's my only child." Suddenly, the spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks, and he was convulsing, and he was foaming at the mouth. It was quite a scene. And he said, "I begged your disciples to cast him out, but they could not." Jesus ended up rebuking them, and they had to rely upon the power of Jesus to heal this man. Even though they were changed up on the mountaintop, they went back into a world that really hadn't changed. In a world that was full of need, there was full of want, there was so many things that they almost were powerless to fix themselves. And yet they had to reach out to Jesus to help them. I kind of feel like that for us as well. We leave from this place full of the hope and the power of God, and yet we meet the needs in our world that often seem too great, way too big for us to handle alone. I think Jesus invites us to reach out to him, and I think some of the best ministry opportunities are when we think, you know, I can't handle this myself. This is something that we cannot do alone. Our church is too small to do something like this. But when we reach out to God, God seems to give us the things that we need to carry it through. So even though they had this life-changing encounter, they still went out into the world and had these frustrating things that were going on that they had to rely upon the presence and the power of Jesus to get through. Where are you in need of a change or a metamorphosis? Know that with God's grace, change is possible. Change is possible in your life, in your home, in your relationships, and in our world. You know, we hear all of this talk about transfiguration and transformation and metamorphosis. But the events of our world today are a reminder that, you know, just some things don't change. Our world is still as broken as it was when Jesus walked it. And the things that we see and hear often baffle us. We hear of greed and war, we hear of racism, division, we hear of just strife and evil in our world. We seem to be shocked every day at the news updates that we receive. And yet it sometimes leaves us to be transfixed. It leaves us almost feeling powerless or paralyzed to affect change in the world and bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And yet amid the brokenness that we witness in our generation, in our lives, God calls us to reach out to him, to celebrate the ways that God has taken us from this to that, has led us into emptiness, into fullness, and a God who continues to lead us in a world that just seems to change just ever so rapidly. So I encourage you to think about where you are in need of this holy change. Where are you in need of a metamorphosis that God can lead you through? With God's grace, change is truly possible in our homes, in our lives, and in our church. You see, in our caring and in our sharing, in our acts of hospitality and love, we can share the change and the transformation that we've received in Jesus with the world. And I just want to thank each one of you and this church for all the many ways that you are sharing his love. It may seem like we have this holy mountaintop experience in church and we go into the world and it is tough to affect change and to do good. But God is leading us and we just reach out to God to continue to show us the way, and he will. So may we continue to work for change in our lives and in our world and know that God is with us all the way through his changeless grace. Let us pray. Our loving God, we are ever thankful for your changeless love, for your presence with us in our church. Lord, we pray for your guiding light in all the changes in our lives that bring us, that are frightening and scary. And we thank you for the ways that you have changed us all for the good. Lord, help us to take your changeless love and grace into the world, that your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.